too long. To record your prediction, go to our website at CFAX1070.com. Click on News Poll.
Talk it over with Terry Spence. Call us direct or collect 386-1161 or on your cell at star 1070. Talk it over with Terry Spence on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. And we're going to talk about parenthood off the top here today. There's a new book out called Am I a Normal Parent? I bet you most parents have asked themselves that question, maybe suspecting that they've somehow delivered parenting skills that are below the norm or not really sure what the norm is. And they're hoping to get a positive answer, but fearful of not getting a positive answer. Well, my first guest is Sarah Dimmerman on the line from Ontario. Has felt the same way and talked to a whole lot of parents, more than 200 of them from all over the place, to get their responses and find out what other people are thinking about parenthood. And Sarah, welcome to CFAX. It's great to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Terry. Great to be with you.
Now, what was the process that got you to kind of do this worldwide survey, so to speak?
Well, I did the survey in preparation for writing this book called Am I a Normal Parent, as you said. And I've been a therapist in Toronto, Ontario for about 20 years. And my expertise is primarily in the area of parent education. And so over the 20 years, I would say that questions that have normal in them have been one of the most prevalent questions, such as, you know, am I a normal parent? Is my child normal? Is what we're doing normal? And over the 20 years, you know, the question, as you said, one of the biggest questions is, what is normal?
Yes.
And so I figured, why not put this all down? I was used to sharing my answers or my advice or coming up with answers with my clients one-on-one, and then I thought, what a great opportunity as a therapist and as a writer to be able to share my feelings with everybody else. And wanted to, as you said, you know, I conducted this research primarily in Canada and the U.S., but I also interviewed parents around the world, because part of my thinking was I wanted to see whether parents across the world felt and acted and had the same kinds of, as I said, feelings and thoughts as parents in the U.S. and Canada.
Well, looking at some of the kinds of questions that parents ask themselves, and I guess that you have asked yourself at one time or another,
sure.
Is it normal to like one of my children more than one of the other kids? And what's the story on that?
Well, absolutely. I think when I interviewed parents, I found that 40% of parents I was able to actually tabulate the results and give them to the to readers in the book in a percentage format.
Right.
So I was able to say that 40% of the parents that I interviewed and had complete the questionnaire, which is actually at the front of the book, said that, yes, at one time or another, they have thought guiltily that they like one of their children more than the other. And that I want to distinguish between love and like, because most parents love their children equally, not all, but most. But there are a lot of times when one child is a little more challenging than the other, is not sleeping through the night, is just more spirited. And in that case, it's not as easy for a parent to like their child as much as the others.
So, yeah, and then, of course, you realize that that's the way you're feeling at the moment, and you feel guilty about it, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And feeling guilty is 100% normal in that case. And I just had a parent in just the other day who was, you know, I felt it was so textbook according to what I had written. She sat down and she was in tears when she said, I feel so guilty to say this, but, you know, sometimes I really feel like I don't like my child as much. I said, you've got to read my book. So I think by parents reading that and knowing that they're not alone, that almost half of the parents that I talked to felt the same, will give them a renewed sense of not feeling alone, which is partly what this book is all about, is helping parents feel that no matter what they thought or felt over the years of raising children, that they are more than likely not going to be alone in feeling and thinking those things.
Now, one of the other questions, and I'm sure every parent would smile hearing this, is it normal to feel like running away from home for a night, just to sort of check into a hotel or something and get away from things? And that must be a fairly normal reaction, I would think, at times.
Absolutely. I think that every parent, I would say almost every parent, has at one time or another thought, just want to get away for even a few hours break or overnight, just check into a hotel, as you said, watch TV, order room service and just hang out on my own and not have any responsibilities. And again, you know, that whole guilt that you said, I think guilt is one of the most prevalent emotions that we feel as parents. And we always feel that we need to be available to our children, to our partners 24/7. But wanting time on your own sometimes makes you an even better parent, a more effective parent, because you've had an opportunity to rejuvenate and feel better.
What was the percentage that you found occasionally felt like running away from home?
You know, I don't have that at my fingertips. I can get that for you maybe during commercial break.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But I would say it was probably at least 60%, but I can confirm that for you.
It strikes me that it would be, you know, nobody or very few people want to sort of run away permanently.
Absolutely.
But we've all probably felt that urge to just sort of take a break.
Absolutely.
As you say, order room service, watch the television show you want to watch,
right.
Read the book in quiet if that's what you want, and just sort of come back refreshed.
Absolutely. And even, you know, sometimes it's not even alone. Sometimes it's wanting time away with your partner.
Yeah.
And I always advocate that parents try and balance things as much as possible so that if they can get time away with their partners, time away as a family, and maybe even time away on their own. I mean, it's not that often that parents will be able to check into a hotel room for the night or even go and stay with a friend, but, you know, occasionally they can, or if not, if it's not a full overnight, just having time outside of the house with girlfriends or male, you know, whatever you want to hang out with, whether you're male or female. As a parent, I'm sure male parents want to have a break as well. It's not just moms.
Absolutely.
So absolutely, it's normal to feel that way, and actually it's something that I would encourage.
Now, it must come as a certain relief to people to suddenly realize that they're not the only parents that feel that way, you know, that they've probably been beating themselves up over being a bad parent, and then somebody like you says, hey, you know, we all feel that way from time to time.
Absolutely. I think that as parents especially, we wear masks. We don't want people to know what we're really feeling inside because we're afraid that nobody else is. We cover up what we're feeling because we think that we're going to be judged as maybe not normal. And so I'm hoping that this book, as you said, will allow parents to see that, in fact, they are normal and that they can start to talk to their friends and family about how they're feeling. And in that way, they get other parents to open up. You know, one of the websites that I mention in my book is True Mom Confessions, and there's a True Dad Confessions as well, started by a woman in the States. And those websites are just little anecdotes from parents, moms, and dads that talk about things that they would never normally out loud. And when I read it, I too was reassured, and some of them were very funny and some were sad and sentimental, but they made me feel that, hey, you know, that just kind of confirmed what I've been feeling all along, that in most of what we're thinking and feeling, we are, it's universal. The person next door, you know, one of the questions that I asked was, do you feel out of every house in the neighborhood, yours could get the Morning from Hell Award? and most parents would say, yeah, and we're the only house in the neighborhood. But then, you know, had they really talked to a neighbor, that neighbor feels the same way. Every parent that I speak to talks about the crazy rush getting out the door in the morning, trying to get your child to tie the shoelaces, feeling guilty because you've been so frenetic in the morning. And no matter how much time parents give themselves to plan, it's usually those last 10 minutes that everything goes haywire.
And you think, well, this is the only house in this neighborhood that could be that frantic, right?
Exactly.
and you find the neighbor's exactly the same.
Exactly. So it's about coming together and sharing that with one another. And one of the things that you said before I came on was that, you know, you thought maybe parents were concerned about being below the norm. And that's one of the things that I touch on in my book, too, is that, you know, as you said, defining normal. And one of the things that I say even on the back cover is that normal is not always what it's cracked up to be.
Yes.
In other words, there are a lot of norms that I acknowledge as typical amongst parents that are really not that wonderful. Like parents, unfortunately, spend so much time on their cell phones, checking text messages, on their Blackberries. That's one of my pet peeves, and it's something that I talk about in the book in terms of parents really acknowledging what impact that's having on their kids. And even though that's become a norm amongst parents, it's not a norm that you want to live up to.
Yeah, maybe put the Blackberry away when you walk in the door after work.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, as a parent myself, Blackberry's been tempting me for a long time, especially as a writer now and needing to meet deadlines and being in touch with my publisher. But I've really kept away from getting it because I know that it's normal again to be tempted to check messages. Recently I was hearing, who was it? Oh, it was Ryan Seacrest from American Idol.
Yes.
Was saying that he has such a frenetic lifestyle. I don't believe the parent, but he was saying that he goes to sleep with his BlackBerry and he checks it every 2 hours. You can imagine how staggered his sleep must be. But I think, of course, most parents don't have the luxury of doing that. But they're regularly checking. Even those parents who say that they're very disciplined and they won't check it and they'll put it away when they get home, it's very hard to do that.
Well, the thing buzzes away and you wonder, who could that be?
Exactly. It's exciting. It's the curiosity gets to you. So as much as it's given us a lot of convenience in life, as much as it's enabled us to do things on the go, it's also created a little bit of what we call like an ADD society, where we're always having to multitask. And, we say to our kids, don't interrupt our conversations when we're on the phone, for example. But then the minute our BlackBerry bings or dings or whatever it does, and you automatically reach to pick it up, and you may be in the middle of a conversation with your child too. So again, that's not something that I would think most parents would want to model.
And you've just shown them that this device is more important than they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. So wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be able to say to your child, I'm going to let that go because my time with you is more important right now. And of course, that's the ideal. That's the ideal textbook, and I wouldn't expect that any parent be perfect. I certainly am not. But I think that parents really need to be more conscious about what's been established as norms and think about whether they're conforming to norms because that's what they want to do in order to belong or because it's best for their families. And sometimes not conforming to the society's norms is also a good thing.
I'm sure that every parent has asked himself or herself the question that's the title of the book, Am I a Normal Parent?
That's what I'm hoping for.
and you can talk to Sarah right here on the program. We'll take a quick break here, and then your call's more than welcome. And you can reach her a number of ways on our direct line, 386-1161. You can phone us, collect, if you're outside the free dial zone, or use your cell phone, free call, *1070, or send us an email. talk@cfax1070.com.
Join Terry Moore and Sam Gracie this Saturday on CFAX 1070 from 5 till 6 for Talk to the Experts. Sam Gracie, health guru, author, and formulator, will discuss why healthy skin starts with a healthy body and how you can get that healthy glow. Find out the secret of looking and feeling young and glowing from the inside out. Sponsored by Genuine Health and The Vitamin Shop. Join Terry and Gracie for Talk to the Experts this Saturday, 5 p.m. on CFAX 1070.
Get out and grill with these great savings from Safeway, like chef-style standing rib steaks. This week, they're club priced at just $5.99 a pound. And if you buy two packs, you'll receive 20 bonus Air Miles reward miles. In the produce department, whole seedless watermelon are extreme priced at only 49 cents a pound. And if you haven't done so already, sign up online at safeway.ca/emaildirect, and you'll receive 100 bonus Air Miles reward miles. Safeway. Ingredients for life.
Hun, our vacuum doesn't suck anymore.
That's impossible. We just had it repaired at Global Vacuums.
I know, and it works fantastic.
With 20 years of experience, count on Global Vacuums for excellence in service and repairs on all makes and models. Call Global, and they'll pick up your vacuum and fix it properly. Time for a new vacuum? Global has the most reliable major brands, new and used. Global Vacuums, 106 Burnside Road West, off the Shoppers. Parking at back is free. Pickup and delivery is free.
Thanks, Global.
475-8833.
David Michaels, certified advisor to seniors.
Stop losing money in the stock market. Learn how to generate a 12% rate of return with no stock market risk. Learn how to take back control of your investments.
Listen to Creating Wealth with David Michaels every Saturday from 3 till 4 on CFAX 1070. For information on upcoming seminars, visit 920rich.com or call 920-7424. David Michaels, connecting successful investors with extraordinary investments.
I love helping seniors make money.
All you need to know about the ABCs of kitchen efficiency is ABC Electric, the kitchen gear and gadget store. ABC Electric is now open at their new location, 1584 Hillside next to Romeo's. Come in and visit Sterling, have a latte, and check out all the great kitchen gear and gadgets, Sieco coffee makers, the Cuisinart small appliance collection, and more. ABC Electric, your kitchen gear and gadget store, open Tuesday to Saturday, 10 till 5. Park free right in front, 1584 Hillside next to Romeo's.
If it's news, if it's topical, if it's controversial, it's Joe Easingwood and the CFAX Newsline. Weekday morning starting at 8:22 on CFAX 1070. Now back to Talk It Over with Terry Spence on CFAX 1070.
And my guest on this portion of the program is Sarah Demmerman. Her book is called Am I a Normal Parent? Something that I suspect just about every parent has asked. Because even though we all realize we're not probably the best parents in the world, at least we want to be normal, right, Sarah?
Absolutely. We want to be normal so we can fit in.
Absolutely. Now, how do people learn more about your book, and how do they acquire one for themselves?
Well, hopefully it'll be hitting the bookstores beginning of June. But for now, they can pre-order by going to indigo.ca. They can go to Amazon. They can go to my website, which is helpmesara.com, or another website that I've set up recently, normalparent.com. So that's www.normalparent.com, and that'll give them information and access to other sites that are selling the book.
And I just remind them, everyone, that Sarah's S-A-R-A. There's no
that's
H
right.
in it, right?
Thank
so help me, Sarah.
That. That's right. And by the way, just to mention, Terry, that I did manage to locate that that number of parents that wanted to run away for one night. And I'm pretty impressed with myself because it was 61%, and I think I'd said 60.
So. Yeah, well,
so I was pretty good.
I'm surprised it's not 100%, frankly.
But yeah, but you never know. You know, there's always that room for error where parents are not being 100% honest. So.
Well, that's right. And one of the other questions that I'm intrigued by, and I suspect that if we knew the absolute accurate number, it would be pretty high too, but is it normal to sometimes regret having children?
Mm-hmm.
And some people at times must say, oh, gosh, I should never have had children. Then, of course, you hate yourself for saying that, right?
Yeah. I think, again, I don't have the exact percentage in front of me right now, but I recall thinking that percentage was fairly low.
Right.
I think that parents, it was probably around 15%. May have regretted, but it was a fairly low number. I think most parents, at the end of the day, don't regret having their children. They're able to see the value that children have in their lives, and they feel that their lives have been enriched. But and that's kind of an overall feeling that they have.
Right.
But there are certainly moments where they say, yes. What did I ever do to myself? Or they long for the lifestyle that they had before, or parts of that lifestyle.
When a person is in that kind of mood, how do they get out of it? I mean, what would your recommendation be as a professional to sort of help them come through that and realize that all said and done, it's pretty nice to have a family?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it depends. Every situation is different, and you have to talk to that individual parent to find out what else is going on in their lives. Because, for example, you know, I'm dealing with all different kinds of things. If a parent is, for example, you know, dealing sometimes with postpartum depression, which is fairly severe, and sometimes it's more of a clinical situation, which is not allowing a parent to fully appreciate being a parent. Then there's other things that create stress in one's life, financial stress, marital stress. So as a therapist, I want to find out what else is going on so that the parent can deal with those extraneous issues and then be able to appreciate what life is like as a parent. Or sometimes just giving them strategies to be able to work with their children in different ways, so ways that make their lives easier, or teaching them parenting techniques so that they can adopt those techniques and put them into place. And sometimes when they feel that sense of not being in control but having control in their lives, they can appreciate their children more. Sometimes when parents' lives are chaotic, sometimes when they're working full-time, for example, they don't have enough time for themselves, their children. Their children sometimes act up as a result of that. So, again, every situation is so unique, and I really have to explore what else is going on. And sometimes I even recommend to parents, especially to moms who are working full-time, that they try to find a way to cut back on their hours because it makes a huge difference in their lives and the lives of their children, too.
Well, you can certainly understand why a person who's been working all day in a stressful job comes home and isn't, instantly the best mom on the planet. I mean, the body needs some recovery time, and you need to kind of have a break. And if the kids are there and expecting a lot of attention, and you can't give it to them right away, of course, it makes you feel bad, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of parents have their own parents or previous generations of parents to look at. And that's often how norms are established as well, in terms of the generations that we've seen. And a lot of parents will say to me things like, well, why can't I do it all? My mom did it all. Well, maybe their mom wasn't working full-time, but even if she was, I think previous generations really felt that they had to do it all and that they couldn't hire outside resources and that kind of thing. But as you said, it's completely normal to come home from a day at work and feel like you don't want to start all over again. Everybody needs that kind of downtime. And I'll often try and build that into a parent's life, even if it's just taking downtime on the way driving home from work or stopping off and grabbing a coffee for 10 minutes or something like that.
Yes. It's just that little break between one set of responsibilities and the other.
I was recently talking to a dad whose children had shared with him that he really wasn't a barrel of laughs when he came home. He had a very stressful job and came into the house most evenings in a bad mood. We came up with a strategy whereby he would talk to the kids in advance and acknowledge what they were feeling, and he would tell them that he just needed 10 or 15 minutes when he came home to go to his room to have a shower, to just unwind for a few minutes. And then he bought one of those foam clown noses. And when I come out of the room and I'm wearing my clown nose, that'll be my sign to you that I'm ready to be fun again.
It's very clever, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's fun, too, because the kids are saying, okay, here comes Dad. He's got his nose on now.
Exactly.
And we can go and joke and tell them what's been going on in their lives.
Exactly. And it's kind of a nonverbal cue to them without Dad having to say anything. And it gives him an opportunity, because as much as we want to see our kids when we come in at the end of the day, as I said, even dads come in at the end of their day and their kids may run to them, or husbands have talked to me about their wives with newborns, kind of throwing the newborns and saying, here, it's your turn, before they've even had an opportunity to take their jacket off. I think that's very difficult, because it is hard for both parents to be working full-time, or even for the parent who is working full-time to come home and go through that transition in seconds.
Yeah, because you're kind of in the back of your mind as you're coming home, it's the end of the day, you get a chance to relax, and then the rest of the family has other ideas.
Absolutely. You sometimes feel bombarded by that.
Sarah, thank you for your time today. Good luck with the book, Am I a Normal Parent? And you'll be putting some minds at rest, I think, as people discover that they're not so abnormal after all.
Thank you, Terry. Thanks for having me on.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
We'll take our break here for the 11:30 news update. We're coming back with Open Phone Victoria. So if you've got a bouquet, something going on in the news that you want to talk about, it's all yours. 386-1161 on your cell phone, free call, *1070. And you can also get us, of course, on email, talk@cfax1070.com.
It's the unofficial kickoff to summer, the Selkirk Waterfront Festival. Saturday, May 31st, come to Selkirk Green for this free family event, including a fun fair, vendors market, entertainment, and delicious food. New location this year, the Selkirk Waterfront Development at 355 Waterfront Crescent. Hours are 11 till 3, Saturday, May 31st. More info at burnsidegorge.com. The 6th annual Selkirk Waterfront Festival, proudly supported by Tim Hortons and CFAX 1070.
This spring, thousands of Canadians will walk and raise funds to help put an end to world poverty. The World Partnership Walk raises funds for Aga Khan Foundation Canada, a not-for-profit, non-denominational Canadian charity. Funds from the walk help villages in Kenya build schools, aid farmers in Afghanistan planting wheat, and assist women in Pakistan starting small businesses. Visit worldpartnershipwalk.com for more information.
In Victoria, the walk starts at 11 a.m. on Sunday, May 25th at Beacon Hill Park.
Proudly